Yeah, buddy, it's your boy Scarfinger, and I'm back with YBS 2-2 for the Season 2, Episode 2 of the Sing-Off. As you can probably hear, your boy's feeling a little bit better. I waited a little bit to do this episode until I started feeling a bit better because, you know, trying to do shows and not feeling well just kind of sucks, and I didn't want to feel like I was putting out a substandard product, so I wanted to wait until I started feeling better. So today we're it kind of sucks because I had that really epic show last time, talking with Meef J, and now I'm back by myself again, phooey. I'm gonna talk some Sing Off. It's season two, and this is really when the episodes start to get really good to me. And it's a thing, like I will always say that although I like some people in the other seasons, I would say season two has the most memorable performances and the songs that really get stuck in your head when you listen to this shit a lot. Of course, I would know. So I'm gonna play the opener and stuff in a second. But of course, I'll go ahead and let you know that this is Scarcasm Live or whatever, wherever I end up placing this show, because I'm not putting it on the official Scarcasm Live feed. I'll probably put it, I'm going to create a new feed called World of Scarcasm. You can reach us, scarcasmlive@gmail.com is the email. I'm Scarfinger on Twitter. Scarfinger Hood Bitch on G+. I always say that I'm gonna use G+ more, and I never do. So don't hold me to that, because I'm really terrible about that. I think that's it. Of course, you can find the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and coming soon, you can find the normal show, the normal Scarcasm Live feed on Radio IO's BTEC Radio. That's part of the reason why I'm moving YBS off of the feed, because we're going to be featured on BTEC Radio, and this isn't necessarily a tech show. So that's coming real soon. I'm going to go ahead and play the intro. You Somebody by all of the remaining groups. It's YBS, y'all.
Could use somebody. Oh, you know that I could use somebody. Oh, someone like you, and all you know is how you speak. Countless lovers undercover of the street.
You know that I can use somebody.
Make you notice. Someone like me.
And that was the opener to the show, which is You Somebody. I believe it's by Kings of Leon. I think I've heard the real song maybe a couple of times, but I don't know it that well. For an opener, I thought it was a very good use of the voices. I thought every all of the leads pretty much had their moments. I love how they gave because I will forever talk about Jerry and his ad libs. I say he has old man Jeezy ad libs, and they just pretty much let him do his thing for the majority of this the song. They let you know, for the first part of the song, they let other people sing and let Jerry ad lib, which just worked, and it worked very well. Like whoever thought about that, just let Jerry do his ad lib thing. That was pretty genius, in my opinion. I love the dynamics of it. And then the moments where they just kind of brought the wall of sound, because that's really what we're looking for in these openers, because, you know, some of these groups are really small. So when even though they can work dynamics, that you don't quite get the wall of sound that you do in the openers. So I thought that was really awesome. And like I said, all of the leads pretty much had their moments. And it was really cool, and I thought it was, like I said, great use of the people, and, you know, even the range of the soulful voices versus the traditional voices, the sounds that were coming from people, it all just kind of worked well. It didn't sound like how some of the openers, when you're doing a certain type of song, you know, depending on the type of singer you have, you know, people can seem out of place. You know, like how Austin seemed very out of place at the beginning of Man in the Mirror in season 4. You know, that type of thing. You know, because he's a country singer, and Man in the Mirror don't really work very well for country in that way. Even the guy from the Whiffin' Poofs, who had the very traditional voice, I thought he did well in the context of this song. So yeah, I think that's the longest I've talked about any opener so far. Yeah. All right. So the show, Separated in Half, and is, four go elimination. There's a special performance in the middle. I'm not sure about how I'm going to do the special performance in the middle. Mainly because I didn't like it, but I'll talk about that when I get there. I guess I'll have to play it though. All right. So I think the show, I don't think they actually said, like, they just called it like they were doing hits. I didn't know whether it was like current hits. I think it was current hits, but they were just talking about, like, at one point they said big hits. Sometimes they said number one hits. Like, we don't necessarily know the exact classification of this show except for hits. We only know the word hits. So we started off with On the Rocks with Live Your Life. I was very worried with Live Your Life. I was very worried about the rap. Of course, you know, it's always the college groups that even attempt to take on these hip hop songs until season 3, where you have a hip hop week and half of the people didn't do hip hop. But I was a bit worried about the raps, but I think he nailed it. Like, you know, what they did with the arrangement was very, very clever. The background of it moved very well. Like, whoever arranged this was really smart, because, of course, with a hip-hop song, you know, the background is pretty much just a loop in most cases. There's not really much dynamics and all of that kind of stuff, but I thought a lot of that was added. With the college groups, the staging and the choreography really worked well for the song, and just, you know, it just looked nice. And I thought the singing at the end, instead of going back to the rap, because basically he only rapped one verse, but the singing at the end was very, very smart, and it was really solid a way to end the song without forcing the rap back down the throats of people who are there for a singing competition. You know, even though I'm not necessarily a big fan of the song, but I do like T.I. and I really like the fact that they were just like, you know what, we're not gonna rap anymore. We gonna let my man here sing and close the song out, and we just gonna work with the verse that we got. And that's cool. It worked. You know, I know Meef J isn't a big fan of On the Rocks, but I love On the Rocks. Yeah, we'll talk more about On the Rocks next episode. Street Corner Symphony did Hey Soul Sister. The funny thing is, when I was listening to the AfterBuzz podcast, they talk about how the package about them putting this on together and stuff like that really makes you change how you listen and view the performance. I mean, of course, you know, all this stuff is on my iPod and I listen to it all the time. I have heard this song, I don't know how many times. Of course, Street Corner is really good, so of course I've heard almost all of their performances quite often. I mean, quite a bit. But watching the actual episode, the package changed how I heard it. Because in the package, they talk about the high notes that they have to hit. And when I'm watching the performance, now instead of hearing it how I always heard it, I'm listening for those high notes. And it come in, you know, and just the guy from AfterBuzz says, Steve, you know, it really changed everything for me, because now whenever I hear this song, I'm listening for those notes instead of enjoying the song the way that I did before. I mean, it's a good thing and a bad thing, but you know, it works. The bridge was so good. I don't know if any of this was in the original song. I mean, I only really know the song mostly from the, I think it was a cell phone commercial, maybe AT&T, I think. I don't really know the song that well, and I don't think I've ever actually heard the song all the way through. So I don't know how much of that bridge was just them making it up, or if that's actually a part of the song. But the bridge was just kicking, and their transition out of the bridge was dope. It is was a really good way to go back to the song. I love their blend. I love their sound. Their cohesiveness. Like, there's, you know, they, you know, with a competition like this, you know, a lot of the harmonies and, you know, the sound of these groups, especially when you get to the college groups that have like a bunch of people, you know, sometimes you can sound similar to someone else, but they just have their own sound. Like, no one sounds like them. And that's pretty cool, and that's pretty dope. And to have a unique sound, especially in a singing competition, is a incredible feat. So yeah, I really mess with that. 11th Hour did Just the Way You Are, the Bruno Mars joint. From the package, there's another one from the package. From the package, when Kendall was talking, her voice was really deep. Because at the beginning of the song, when she's singing low, it sounded terrible to me. I mean, no one else mentioned it. Like, none of the judges or anything mentioned it. But her sound at the beginning of the song, she didn't sound good at all when she was singing lower. You know, Ben mentioned that she's singing like 2.5, maybe 3 octaves, but that lower one, it didn't sound good to me at all at the beginning of the song. I thought it was a poor song choice. You know, for them to be the kid group, you would think that someone would be like, hey, you need a classic song under your belt. You can't just, you know, you can't go from Justin Bieber to Bruno Mars. That's not going to work if you want to stay around here. You got to find a classic song that everybody knows, and then you have to nail that shit. It doesn't matter if you nail a Bruno Mars song. That doesn't matter at all in the terms of this competition. And you'll see that Elimination Time. They needed to find a classic song and nail that down, and they decided to stay with the recent stuff, and I think that was a mistake. I think that was a mistake. I thought it was a poor song choice. They needed something iconic to push them past the stigma of being the kids of this show. Kendall, of course, is clearly the star, and I don't think the rest of the group was really up to her level. I thought the vocal percussionist, the beatboxer, he put in some work. He did in both performances, but it really just that guy did some work. I think his name was Kurt. Their blend just didn't sound good. They sounded like kids. Like, you know, there's no other way to say it. Like, they sounded like kids. So, the judges, you know, you can always tell who has a strong chance of going home by what the judges say. And, you know, one of the kisses of death for you with the judges, if they started talking about your, like, potential and, like, going through the things that you did right, and what worked, it means that there was a lot of stuff that didn't work, and they're just being nice to you because it's early in the competition. And I think that's what happened to 11th Hour. The judges were really nice to them, maybe because they were kids and they just didn't want to hurt their feelings like that. But the judges kind of gave them the kiss of death without going in. Jerry Lawson, Talk on the Town, or Jerry and them, or aka Jerry. I can't remember when that actually starts, but I know it's gonna start pretty soon. But Jerry Lawson and Talk on the Town, they did Mercy, which is the song, I think the chick's name is Duffy. I know this song from a video game convention a few years ago, at the Microsoft press conference at E3, for the gamers. They debuted a game called Lips, which is a karaoke game where it grades you. Well, this Duffy chick came out and sang this song, but of course, you know, the game grades you based off of the original song. So Duffy wanted to come out and sing the song how she would sing it. I guess she was singing it how she would sing it live. And then she was just trying, you know, I don't know if she was just trying to impress people or whatever, but she tried to put something on it. And meanwhile, while she's trying to sing the song, she's not singing it like the recorded version, and she's scoring terribly at her own song. Because technically, while she thinks she's just doing a performance, she's actually performing the song in the game, and she's actually, you know, she's actually being graded, and she's being graded very poorly on her own song. So that's how I know the song. I don't have many notes for Jerry Lawson and Talk of the Town. I love the doo-wop with the rough voice. It just works. And when, you know, at the end, when he was just, when Jerry was just kind of into it, it sounds like that Teddy P, you know, turn him off, like that type of sound that just, that makes you notice and makes you want to, it's almost like you're being commanded to give a shit. And you know, there's not a lot of singers that can do that even these days. You know, the gruff voice dude just doesn't really exist in mainstream music anymore. and you know, and then of course their low end, of course it you know, the talk of the town part of Jerry Lawson and Talk of the Town cannot be understated. Like, of course, Jerry is the standout in, you know, in name and in when they perform. You know, he's almost always, you know, he's always singing lead. But Talk of the Town is really good because unlike you know, you can compare them in 11th Hour, where you have a, both of them have like a star and that's the star, but the rest of 11th Hour can't hold Kendall. And I think Talk of the Town gives Jerry all the room that he needs to do his thing while supporting him and really getting in there and sounding great. So yeah, you know, that's the difference. That's the reason why when it comes to Elimination Time, 11th Hour is who goes home. And then they did a song called Leaving. I guess the song is by Jesse McCartney. I don't really know Jesse McCartney's music that well. I think he's the dude that did the I think he was the dude that did the T-Pain song. He did a remix of a T-Pain song, and I thought it was okay. It was like a soulless remix of a T-Pain song. I think it was Buy You a Drink. But yeah, it's and again, the problem is they went with a song that, you know, that their audience probably didn't know. Even though it sounded good, I thought it sounded good with the exception of there's one part where she lost her breath. And you know, since she's the only singer, of course you notice that because she's the only one singing. There was nobody singing with her, there was nobody harmonizing with her. So, you know, that part where she had to catch her breath in the middle of that song really was really obvious. And then at the end, that the little riff that she did at the end of the song, I don't know if that sounded good. Like, I don't think it sounded bad, but I don't think it sounded good either. I think she just, you know, she's getting voted off and she went for it. And I don't think it was that bad, but it wasn't good. So there's that. So yeah, so I'm gonna take a break and play a couple of clips, and we'll be back with I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna talk about that. Yeah, I'm gonna take a break, play a couple of clips, and we'll be back. It's YBS, y'all.
Of a comic, allergic to the counterfeit, yeah. Impartial to the politics, articulate, but still a grab a fella by the collar, quit the hootin' and the hollering, hey. Back and forth with you, argue where you from,
who you know, what you making, what kind of car you
in, ignoring all prior advice and forewarning, and we might be full of ourselves, all of a sudden
you're gonna be a shiny star, hey. Fancy clothes and fancy guys, and you see
what you gonna do.
Just everyone knows just who you are.
So live your life.
Hey,
you steady chasing that paper. Just live your life.
Hey,
ain't got no time for the way it does. Just live your life.
Hey,
now tell her where it'll take you. Just live your life.
Hey, 'cause I'm a paper chaser.
So keep on getting your paper. Till the game ends, till the clock stops, we gon' post up on the top. Just living my life.
Yeah.
And we're back with YBS, Sports Garfinger. And in the middle of the show, there's a performance from Nota, which is Nota is the winner from season one. They performed a song, and they performed I Got a Feeling, the Black Eyed Peas joint, and I hated it. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna try to sugarcoat it. I hated it. First of all, I'm not a big fan of the Black Eyed Peas. I'm just gonna be 100% honest with you. I've never been a big fan of the Black Eyed Peas. I don't think they make, I don't dig their music, at all. So I thought it was a terrible song choice. I thought it was not just a terrible song choice, but I thought it was a bad song choice for Nota. It didn't do anything for their actual skill. Like, it didn't work for them. And we'll talk about this again next season, because at one point there's a performance from the winners of this season. And it's a completely different situation because they take the song that doesn't necessarily fit them and they make it fit them and they do it well. So that's the difference between what happens here and what happens next season. I thought it was weird at the very end of it. I think they got help from the other groups, because at the very end of the song, there was a kind of a chorus effect, and there was way more than just them singing it. And then you kind of look at the other groups, and a few of them had microphones in their hands, so they really played that up. I thought it was just kind of messed up that they needed the help of the other groups, or I don't know if they necessarily needed it, but whoever suggested that just really kind of undermined Nota for just how capable they are. I didn't think it was needed, but obviously somebody did. So, yeah. The Backbeats. Get to the actual second half of the show. Oops, I'm up the mic. The Backbeats performed "Break Even." Now, I never heard of this song before, but holy crap. Now, I'm just going to say, when Joanna sings, I always believe her, no matter what. But when I listened to this song, and I listened to the words of this song, and the song is about, a guy wrote this song about a breakup. And being a guy who just was in a breakup, a breakup, and it seems similar to the story of this song. This song really resonated with me, probably much more than it would have had I heard this song, and I hadn't gone through what I went through last year. I don't think I would feel the same about it. But those words, the words of the song just resonate with me. Every single word of this song means something to me. So I think I have a little bit more, I think I like this a little bit more than I probably would have a year ago. Having gone through what I went through. It's kind of the same thing, like when you watch a movie with a father before you have kids, and you just, you don't get it until you're an actual father. Like, you watch John Q and you're not a parent. It doesn't hit you in the same way. That's pretty much what this song did for me. This song was like watching John Q after you become a parent for the first time. So, it's just like I said, when Joanna sings, I believe her. I like the fact that they added the other two. I think their names was Atten and Catherine, for that one. I don't know whether you call it a refrain or whatever like that. I mean, even though Joanna did the heavy lifting of the song, they got their parts, and I really dug just them getting in there and letting other people sing. I thought it was great use of dynamics. you know, I guess you're going to hear that a lot from me. You know, it works. And one thing that the Backbeats have going for them is kind of like the same way I felt about Voices of Lee. When they sing together and not just one person out front and everybody singing backup for them, when they sing together, they sound fantastic. There was that one part, and it was a very choral sounding part where they all kind of sing the words "What Little Remains," and you hear that very rich choral sound from this group, and you know just what they're capable of in just those few words. That is just really dope. Committed does Apologize. I don't have very many notes for this at all. I think Apologize by Committed is the song of the season, maybe of all time sing-off. It just has everything. When I first started paying attention to the sing-off, I got introduced through Pentatonix, and Rashani and a couple other people were trying to get me to pay attention to clips of Committed, and they just kept showing me the clip of them doing the Maroon 5 joint from the first episode or the last episode, the one that I did with Meep J that we talked about. They just kept sending me that one. And I'm just like, okay, they sound cool. It's more of a Take Six type thing. And, you know, that's not really, you know, it's not really why I'm here. Like, I really dig what Pentatonix can do, blah, 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 whatever, how they changed, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I didn't realize, you know, I just didn't realize just how fucking fantastic Committed sounds. Like, the moment I was, the moment I watched this episode the first time and I heard that Apologize, I could not believe my ears. Like, I had to play that over and over and over again because I just could not believe that it just sounds so good, and it has everything in it. Like I said, it is the song of the performance of the season, and I dare say it might be the song of the show. Like, if you want to really, if you really want somebody to understand just how good a cappella could be, you let them hear Apologize. You know, like people who have their preconceived notions about what a cappella is, let them hear Apologize, and I bet you that shit is shattered. It's gone. You just can't say enough. And the thing about it is, they even made Ben speechless. Like, he didn't know what to say. Like, eventually he tried to work up something to say, but Ben was speechless. And when Ben is speechless, that's a feat. It's just fantastic. Groove for Thought did Cooler Than Me. They just have the jazz thing on lock. The way that they talk about Jerry having the doo-wop thing on lock, and he owning having ownership in his section of this thing, is the same way I feel with Groove for Thought. They own vocal jazz. Like, they just sound really good. They got the jazz thing down. I love the upright bass thing at the beginning of the song. I did not write the bass singer's name down, but he was just like, he was playing an upright bass. That was dope. Peter is just so dope of a singer. You just can't deny based off of the song, it's really hard to call him anything other than cool, but he's just so cool, and his voice is, it just works very well for their jazzy style. I think the jazz thing, of course, as we're going to see later, the jazz thing is a gift and a curse. I wish it would, you know, when I get to it, but the jazz thing is a gift and a curse. I love, I guess they call it the soprano sax thing that the young chick does when she goes, kind of goes, but she does it in a singing way. But that is just so dope. It is so jazzy. And it just made the song for me. And I know she does it again later. But yeah, that thing, whatever that is, whatever you call it, like, they didn't really know what to call it. They just call it the soprano sax thing. But that was just really cool. Like, just the fact that she was able to, you know, she just kind of bust that out real quick. And then she does the Tim from Home Free thing where she finds, they mention that, and then she's like, all right, I'm gonna do that again. And I'm gonna keep doing that. The same way, Jerry is gonna do it too when he does his howl, and then, like, all of a sudden now he's gonna howl in every performance pretty much. And it was just really cool. I liked that version. I liked the version of that song. The Whiff and Poops did I Haven't Met You Yet. I think for them, that traditional sound, the traditional, you know, thing, it works for them. It just doesn't work for the competition. It just stopped working in their favor when it came to the competition. I think they got a pass the first episode. They should have been voted off, but they were not. And for them going last, we already know that the way the sing-off is, going last can be, you know, the person who goes last is either because you're really good or you're really bad. I don't think they were really bad. I like the performance. It's just, it would have been extremely hard to match what we've heard already. Like the backbeats, Committed and Groove for Thought, all put in spectacular performances, and it's like, how do we match that? And they just couldn't, in my opinion. I didn't think it was bad. I really didn't think it was bad at all. So there was an elimination, and the Whiff and Poops got sent home. The song that they sang Home Sweet Home, and personally, I thought it sounded fantastic. Like, they say that the after the first season, your swan song is the song you practice the most. So, you know, a lot of people's swan songs sound really good, and the Whiff and Poof's swan song sounded great. Their low end really got to do, their low end really got to do work in this song, and it shows, and like you can hear it. It just sounds good. Maybe it's different for me, because when I listened to this, I was listening to, you know, on a TV with a good sound system, but their low end just sounded really good on this. And I'm like, if you could have did this instead of what you did, I think Group of Thought would have went home. It just sounded really good. But the thing about it is, after their performance of Haven't Met You Yet, you could tell they knew that they were possibly going home by the comments that they were saying. They were talking about, like, being honored to be there, and, you know, that type of thing. When you go, yeah, we're just really honored to be here with these other guys and all this other stuff. That's how, you know, in this competition, that's loser speak. Maybe that your ass is going home when you start talking about the experience, as opposed to trying to win this thing. And they knew it. I think they really knew it when you listen to their words. And yeah, they knew they were going home. But I don't think that any of the performances were bad, so to say. It was very much a damn whiff and poofs. Y'all ended up in the side of the bracket with three monsters of this, and you know the whiff and poofs just got eaten by the monsters. It happens. It's gonna happen way more times than just with the whiff and poofs. Like in season 4 when Street Corner Renaissance end up having to go home, that episode nobody was bad, and it's just like somebody has to go home, so I guess it's just gonna be you, and that's what happened to the Whiff and Poops here. Alright, I think I've done my talking. I'm gonna come back, take a break. I'm gonna come back in a second, and I'm going to close this bad boy out.
Turn up, but I'm barely breathing. Just pray to God that I don't believe it. No.
Cause I got time while she got freedom.
Cause when her heart breaks, no, it don't break even. Her best days will be some of my worst. Finally met a man that's gonna put her first. But I'm wide awake, she's no trouble sleeping. Cause when her heart breaks, no, it don't break even. Even though, what am I supposed to do? I don't believe it.
Cause I got time while she got freedom.
Cause when her heart breaks, no, it don't break even.
No, it don't break, no, it don't break even. No.
Hearing what you're saying, but I just can't make a sound. Oh. You tell me that you need me, then you go and cut me down. But wait, you tell me that you're sorry, didn't think I'd turn around and say, hey, I said it's too late to apologize. Another chance, take a fall, take a shot for you.
Shot for you.
I need you like a heart needs a beat, but it's not true. I love you with the fire, and now it's turning blue. And you say, sorry like the angel, never let me think was you. But I'm a
it's too late.
It's too late.
And there you have it. This has been YBS 2.2. You better sing. Honestly, you know, the last two songs is really why I would say, and don't nobody tell Rashani, season two, I wouldn't say season two is the best season, but season two have probably the most memorable performances to me, probably mostly because of Committed in Street Corner, and you know the Backbeats, you know they got some good ones, especially the first two, but because of Committed in Street Corner, man, there's some great stuff. And you know I love, not necessarily everybody, I love On the Rocks, and you know, and you know what, I dig Jerry now. I didn't dig Jerry until I watched the show, when I was just listening to the MP3s. It didn't necessarily work the same way as when you're watching him and you just see, like, you know, when you see the old man groove for yourself, that type of thing. What I'm gonna do is I'm not gonna do a whole long drawn out shout outs. I'm just, you know, because it's been a while. You know, it took a while for me to get this show done. So I'm just going to say thank you to everybody who's listening, everybody who checks out the main show, because this is the first one that's not going to be on the Scarcasm Live feed originally. So check out the real show. Check out Scarcasm Live, and you can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, coming soon to Radio IO, which is fucking phenomenal for me. Contact me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, Scarfinger, on G+, Scarfinger Hoodrich. Even if you want to find me on Facebook, my name is Michael Corbin. However you want to find me, holler at your boy, send me an email to, scarcasmlive@gmail or geeksonraw@gmail. However you want to do it. If you want to contact your boy, just holler at your boy, man. I really enjoy doing these shows, and I know not necessarily everybody loves to hear them, but I really enjoy doing them, and I want to keep doing this. This is something that I really enjoy, and I hope that if you're listening to this, I hope you enjoy it too, because it's really a labor of love for me, and I really dig to sing off. And when it's all over, when I'm caught up to season four, this is really gonna suck, because I'm not gonna have anything to do. But yeah, this is your boy Scarfinger. Thank you to everybody who's listening. Shout out to Meef J. Shout out to Rashani. And, you know, those are the two that, you know, that are always around for the shows, and you know, resharing and all that kind of stuff. Shout out to Kojak. Fucking Kojak be resharing this shit on Facebook like a motherfucker, yo. Shout out to Kojak. I forgot I said I was going to try not to cuss on these shows. But you know what? It's motherfucking Kojak, yo. This is your boy Scarfinger. I'm going to play the exit songs, and then I'm out of here. Pieces.
Hey, baby, I've been watching you all day. Take you out and let it rain. Ooh. Let me ask you one time, if you gotta go, why don't you tell her that I'm leaving, never coming back again? So call your baby and tell her you found a new one. No more making you cry, no more the great size. Yeah, we're playing on the G5, and we're leaving, never let you back again. So call your baby and tell her you found a new one. The one that's so, so bright, the one that you get.
You know that I've seen too many romantic dreams up in lights falling off a silver screen. My heart's like an open door for the
It's your boy Scarfinger. And if you're still listening, I just wanted to say, I don't think I mentioned in the show how fucking awesome the Whiff and Poof's Swan Song sounded. That shit sounded fantastic. And they did the double ending thing. And I'm not even a Whiff and Poof's fan, but that just sounded really good. It just really sounded good. So I just wanted to say that sounded really good, and I don't think I said that in the show. So, yeah, I'm out. Bye.